Call the meeting of the Environmental Advisory Board, Monday, December 1st, 2025, to order. Roll call.
Tim Trum.
Jessica I.
Casey McGowan.
Stefan Califf, Board Liaison.
Heather Faustini.
Great. Let's do the pledge. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Any public comment, Julia?
No, we don't.
Great. So first item on the list is approval of minutes. I do want to say, I'd like us to, right, we've got a fair amount to cover tonight. Let's try and make sure that we're not talking over each other and we're staying on topic, right, or I'm going to have to start chopping people off. And I don't enjoy doing that, but yeah. So anyway, approval of minutes, item 25-3047. Approve the November 3rd, 2025 VAB meeting minutes. Need a motion?
Make the motion approve.
Second.
Vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. New business A, 26-0006. Discussion and possible action regarding update from the Parks and Rec Advisory Board Liaison. I don't
All
see
right.
him.
If I may, Chair, because Member Jacobin is not here today, I wanted to provide a brief update on his behalf for this.
Good.
Thank you. So they had a presentation of the Parks Master Plan, which was presented to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. The board members approved the recommendations and suggested for that approval to commission as well. So they were favorable opinion towards the master plan presentation. And this item will be individually brought up before commission at the December 9th meeting. And another quick update, the Halloween event at City Hall was the largest on record with over 6,000 kids attending.
Wow.
And more than 8,000 pieces of candy distributed. Parks and Recreation won the theme of the night. And these are the updates that I have on behalf of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board Liaison.
Great. Any questions? All right, let's move on. Item 26-0007, discussion and possible action regarding presentation of the EAB 2025 annual report to the City Commission. I believe this is your item, Stefan.
Thank you, Chair. Just wanted to start with a quick question. Were all members able to take a look at the staff notes associated with this item?
I did not.
Okay, thank you.
What's
so what I
link
would...
to it?
I didn't see a link. I read all the links.
Excuse me. If I may, I'm going to pull it up real quick as that will make it easier to...
I don't think they were attached to this.
They were not attached,
okay.
But as part of the agenda item, there's a summary, and I will pull that up right now. Okay. Like here or, okay.
Let's see where they end up first, though.
Okay,
so. You're in MPJ, so you guys select something else from the dropdown.
Okay, perfect, that's fine. Thank you. Okay, so we have three options in.
Hey, Stefan, we're having some difficulty seeing that. Can we either like dim the lights or make that bolder? That's better.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Thank you.
Hopefully this is better.
Thank you.
So this item discusses possible ways to present the Environmental Advisory Board 2025 annual reports to the City Commission. And there are three options in which this could happen. I have listed under the staff summary for this item, I have listed all three options, as well as mentioning what are some of their potential pros and cons. So the first option would be a presentation by a board member at a regular commission meeting. Some of the pros include direct representation of the board's work and priorities to commission. It allows for real-time dialogue and questions between commission and board. Demonstrates transparency and accountability through a public presentation. Some of the cons requires additional preparation and coordination. Well, technically they all do. Limited time on the commission agenda may restrict the depth of discussion and relies on one individual to represent the collective work of the board. Option two would be submission of a memorandum to commission. And some of the pros include streamlining the communication by using established administrative channel. It ensures the report is formally documented and distributed to all commissioners, minimizes scheduling challenges and time commitments for the board and commission as well. Cons reduces opportunities for direct engagement between the board and commission, may limit visibility of the board's work to the public compared to a live presentation, and feedback from commission may be delayed or less interactive. Excuse me. And option three would be a joint meeting between the Environmental Advisory Board and commission. It provides the most comprehensive opportunity for dialogue and collaboration, allows for commissioners to hear directly from multiple board members, strengthens alignment between board recommendations and commission priorities. The cons with this option would be requires significant coordination to schedule a joint meeting, maybe more time intensive for both the board and commission, and could extend beyond the scope of a simple annual report presentation requiring further preparation. So, with these options available, I think that we have few opportunities to relay the report and have this dialogue with our commissioners. So at this point, I'm sure that the board will discuss now.
I'm fine with option three. Seems like that's a good way to talk to the commissioners and let them hear from multiple members so they can get a sense of everything.
Any comments? Jessica?
Well, I agree with that sentiment, but I am really for option two because I think it's too much for one member to do. And I think that we might have trouble getting everybody together for a meeting with the board, with the city commission, only because the con is significant coordination to schedule a joint meeting, because they, how much of the commission would have to be there? All of them, or a quorum, or what?
A quorum.
So for them, it would be how many people?
Three.
Are you computating, or?
Well, I would go with the memorandum, because Stephen, you have the notes of everything, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think it would be easiest to give it to Stephen to do. It would be more comprehensive, because we have a year's work to sum up, and some board members have not been here for a year. Right?
Very good.
So
recommend number two. Did I hear that correctly? Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be most thorough.
Got it. I happen to like option three. I think that gives us the best opportunity to make an impact, and that's why I joined the board. Any other comments? Is this an item we're voting on, or what? Possible action? That's right.
This would be an item, yes, sir. This would be an item to vote on and to decide on the means on how to present this report. I just wanted to mention that the report should be presented to the City Commission no later than the first quarter of 2026. So this would be something that's has to happen by then. We have some time, but not that much. So ideally, the board would take that into consideration at the meeting today.
What kind of things go into this report? I've been on the board for 2 years and I've never seen one.
Great question. So it would be any accomplishments, any efforts. I am also going to be assisting with the report, with the draft of that report. So I will be providing a lot of the information that I have in our records.
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah.
Let's include number two with number three to make sure that we cover all of our ground.
Typically in the past, boards that have opted to do the joint meeting, they would provide a short presentation, and the main focus would be on their goals for the upcoming year,
yep.
So that they could express those goals to the commission and get commission feedback on what, you know, commission might want to add to it.
Excellent. I'm way on board with that. Let's vote. All in favor of option number one? Nobody? All in favor of option number two? No? All in favor of option number three? Aye. Option three? You don't know.
Aye. One question.
Yes.
Do we as a board need a quorum to go to the presentation?
No, you do not.
Okay.
The only board take any action at a joint meeting is the commission.
Okay.
So,
because
we will not be voting on anything.
We have a lot of doctor's appointments, so I'll want to go. I'll try to make it, but can't guarantee.
Understood. Great. And that should be that. Okay. Item 26-0008, discussion and possible action regarding relocation and crediting of trees moved from development properties to designated areas.
All right, so thank you, Chair. Just a couple of pointers about this item. As I have mentioned in the staff summary for it, the majority of the concerns with it are already addressed in our Unified Land Development Code, and that would be under table 6.7.43. And I would like to read the verbiage from the code. Tree relocation to public property upon notification by the ULDC administrator that the city or other government agency is interested in relocation of a trees from the applicant's property to public property. The property owner shall have the discretion to authorize the relocation and pay for the cost of tree relocation in return for conservation credits. The relocation shall be accomplished within 15 working days of the tree removal authorization unless it is necessary to root prune the trees to assure survival, in which case the relocation shall be accomplished within 30 working days. Some of the input from city staff and from our urban forester, Ryan Pieper, for this item that I wanted to gather, basically one of the biggest challenges with this type of relocation go with costs and flexibility towards the applicant. We offer our Unified Land Development Code offers that option, and there are means for this to be done through it. However, many times, because there's need for specialized equipment, such as a spade truck, labor costs, and in addition, in some cases, the relocated tree may not make it through the relocation. Some of the other factors that have to be considered are irrigation at the recipient site. So we as natural resources team and city representatives who are in favor of having more trees, we are always in support when the applicant is expressing such effort. We do recommend it. We bring it up in cases where it may be applicable. My personal observation is that usually the applicant opts out not to go with the relocation. That's all I have.
Commentary? Questions?
I have a question. Is it because of cost that they opt out?
Yes, ma'am. In part, it's because of costs. In part, it's because there are additional steps that may require staff time from the applicant's side. So all these factors play into it.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, recommendations? No? Okay. Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you, sir.
Item 26-0009, discussion and possible action regarding a property adjacent to Miakahatchee Creek and its potential environmental value for preservation through the Sarasota County Land Acquisition and Management Program.
All right, thank you, Chair. Just wanted to provide all members with a quick up to speed with recent actions regarding this parcel and this item. So in December, in beginning of September this year, the Parks and Recreation Department already brought this item forward to the City Commission review and possible direction. The commission provided direction ultimately, and initially they questioned this item. There was a discussion that took place pertaining to different options. ultimately a motion was made and the item was, this parcel was rejected for a nomination for acquisition by City Commission. The vote was 4-1 rejecting the item's proposal. So this is where we are. I just wanted to dedicate some time for the board to get familiarized with previous discussions with this.
Yeah, my question on that would be, why wouldn't we have seen that sooner? Like, before, we should have been part of the recommendation process, I would think.
This was an item that was brought up by the Parks and Recreation team, and
so they wanted.
That's all the information that I have about it.
Wow.
I got a little bit.
Right. So, okay, go ahead, Jessica.
So they wanted it for a park, and it was rejected as parkland.
I believe so.
Okay, then do we have a map available of how adjacent? Oh, we're talking about Myakahatchee Creek Environmental Park. Is that what we're talking about?
I can pull the item on a map.
I'm assuming that, but the parcel. I don't know.
It would be this parcel here.
And where is the park in relation to that parcel?
So here's Myakahatchee Creek, yeah. And then the park's up here. So this would be a parcel adjacent to Tamiami Trail.
Oh, okay. That's the one across the street from, okay. Right. So they didn't want it as a park or a playground, and I can see the, like, idea of having kids and all the traffic on Tamiami not being compatible at all. Would it be a waste of our time to ask them if we could just leave it as a conservation area?
At this point, I know that
they want to develop it.
They were clear on their vote. I believe that all the information that they inquired about was presented to them about this parcel, including the background. But at this point, we have the item, and you as members can discuss whether you would like to.
Is this a 7-acre parcel or whatever that Chuck was talking about last night? He made public comment on a...
The same one.
It's the same one, okay.
That's why it's on the agenda.
Yes.
Okay. And the city is up for developing it because they think it's possible to raise it above floodplain. What is the building beside it that's very large, the white building to the right?
The old Winn-Dixie.
That's the old Winn-Dixie. So this is next to the Winn-Dixie.
Yes.
And the Winn-Dixie is now a Planet Fitness or something?
Doesn't matter.
No, I'm just curious. Because it got really, I mean, the building was devastated during the, you know, the whole thing. And the owner of that property wants it to stay as floodplain, wetlands,
that's right,
or whatever, because it just makes sense to that particular owner. But the city wants to develop it as a commercial. Presumably that's what it's zoned, right? Commercial?
That's how it's zoned currently.
That's correct. So do you have a question or a recommendation?
I don't see how it could be developed any better than the old Winn-Dixie next to it. I mean, you know, it's wetlands. It's very low. It's got a river right beside it. The storm drainage is, you know, like, where's that going to go? It's just going to wash right back up. Whatever. I'm in favor of, you know, making a presentation ourselves, just, you know, hammer the nail a little bit further and just saying, you know, we really want to see this as conservation, and, you know, you can put a sign on it, you know, or no sign on it. Let it be known that, you know, we're conserving. This is a conservation preservation area, period. And rejecting the wishes of the owner, I think, is a slippery slope, okay? We give in to owners all the time when they want to develop. And when they don't want to develop and they have expressed wishes not to develop something, and the city wouldn't have to do a thing to maintain it, they could just let it sit, let it act as a flood barrier to the rest of the neighborhood around there. I think it's, you know, denying the rights of that property owner. So okay. I would like to make an argument to them.
You'd like to make a recommendation to them that,
that's a bad decision?
Well, I think it should be.
You know, they always say property rights, property rights, property rights. Well, they're ignoring this man's property or this owner or whatever property rights, how he would like it to be.
My understanding is he's wanting it rezoned out from commercial and to conservation. Is that correct or not correct?
That is correct.
So wouldn't that go before planning and zoning?
That doesn't.
No.
Let's try and stay on topic here.
I am.
So it's started commercial.
If I may. Lori Barnes, Deputy Director, Development Services. The property currently is zoned Activity Center 1. The property owner's request was to Sarasota County and their environmentally sensitive lands program, acquisition program. The property owner requested the property be nominated for that program and acquired by Sarasota County to be held in conservation. So the request had nothing to do with rezoning the property. It had to do with the county acquiring the property and compensating the current property owner for their acquisition of that parcel.
Can I ask what that price was, or do we know?
There was no price determined. The way the program works is the county receives a nomination for the property. The county shares with whatever municipality or county board of commissioner staff and requests input from the Parks and Recreation Department and the Planning Department. And that recommendation goes up to the City Commission, and they determine whether they want to support that request to the nomination to the Sarasota County Environmental Sensitive Lands Program. Our City Commission did not support it because of the economic impact that could be associated with development of this property in the future. Now, if a property is nominated and that nomination is accepted, then the county and the property owner go about having an appraisal of the property determined and potentially going forward with a contract of sale and purchase for that property in accordance with the county's policies.
Okay, so the city's not involved in it at all, so why is it on our agenda?
The city is not involved in the program except that the City Commission makes a recommendation to the county on that nomination request. And the City Commission did not support the nomination, and therefore the county did not move forward with pursuing that property.
Well, one more question. Would this fall under our tree acquisition fund that we could say we would like to spend some money on this? Or
it could. And one of the next items on your agenda is our recommended Natural Resources Review and Recommendation for Environmentally Sensitive Lands. Now, this particular property is not in that presentation, but if you all wanted us to add that to the commission's list for consideration, we can evaluate it according to our matrix and potentially include it in the recommendation to commission. So yes, the Environmental Protection Funds could be. Right. Now, that being said, we can only deal with willing property owners. If this property owner is not still willing to work with the local government, whether it be the county or the city, to have that property acquired, then we can't guarantee acquisition of the
right.
land is what I'm trying to communicate.
Yes. Okay. Would we make a motion on this or what?
I have a question first before we make any motions. Calm yourself. My question is, what's the mechanism that determines what comes in front of us?
So this usually would be any future in front of the Environmental Advisory Board.
Yeah, right, because it always seems like right, we are more than a day late and a dollar short on any of this stuff.
A lot of this could come to the board if it's brought up as an agenda item. So in theory, a lot of the items that we bring are items that you as members would like to discuss. So this is usually how the agenda is determined. Now, potentially, because I believe that I see where you're going with this, Chair, you're pretty clear. Potentially, just like how we have an update for the board for any development activities that are being proposed, which was one of the wishes of the board.
Correct.
Potentially, this is something that can be also brought up where it would be any relevant agenda items that are upcoming to your attention. So it would be a mixture between what the members are requesting and what we have done as far as what I'm normally putting on the agenda as of now. But that doesn't mean that we cannot tweak and improve the process
100%.
As we move forward.
So what I want us to be able to do is to get a recommendation in front of commission before something's already done. Right? That's kind of an easy way to think about the filter that I'm thinking. Right? We aren't going to solve it here, but I think we got to figure that out, right? Because it's frustrating, right? When you go, this is a good example of one that's frustrating, right? That's an easy one that somebody should have said, wow, EAB ought to take a look at that. But it's clear that that's not really what the mindset is.
So are you proposing that we ask the city to apprise us of any lands that could be possibly looked to be bought by the funds? Is that the requested item?
So that's, I'm saying, so that would be part of it, but I'm just thinking broadly, right? What's the mechanism that determines what comes in front of us? Because we're constantly, right, we're always behind. That's what I'm curious about, whether it's 100%, right? When we talk about the property stuff, well, for sure we're going to want to see that.
I'm just
saying broadly, if it impacts the environment, right, or any, honestly, if it impacts anything on that scorecard, right, because we set the scorecard up to match right up against what our charter is. So So I'd like, what I guess what I'd like to do is I'd like the city to maybe think through how we get to that point. I think that's a goal.
Can we at least make a motion, at least on this topic, about properties, parcels of land that become available, that we as a board have a input on how we recommend them as a board to the city to have a vote, like we'd recommend yay or nay, possibly purchase or pass?
I'd like to make a comment. You said they ran it through Parks and Recreation. Is that their default for land acquisition?
It depends. It depends for what purpose is the parcel being acquired for. For example, we, with natural resources, these are funds that are part of the Environmental Protection Fund. And then this is why we are going to, on behalf of natural resources, I'm going to be presenting this presentation to the board. But it really depends which department is acquiring the parcel.
Well, the reason that I had an ulterior motive in asking that question, because I wonder why staff from Parks and Recreation did not raise his hand and tell us about it, since, I mean, what other purpose is
right,
he here for?
That's what I'm talking about. We want them to come back with that recommendation.
I mean, why wasn't that ever mentioned through him?
I believe it didn't come to the board because they weren't looking to do it through the city's fund. They were looking to do it through the Sarasota counties, which we have nothing to do with.
Yeah, but Parks and Rec was involved. I'm just a little confused about the role of Parks and Recs. I would think that if he knew about it. Now, I don't know if he knew about it. But if he knew about it.
So I understand what you're saying about, right, it was through a county program, but in my mind, the city commission is voting on an environmental issue in the city limits, we should be seeing that ahead of time.
And if I may, just a quick comment. So the county, because in this example, the acquisition would be through the county. So they are in communication with the Parks and Recreation Department. So they send updates to them regarding potential properties of interest.
Yeah,
just so you know.
So, understood.
Does that
understood.
Mean we have to contact the county?
No, it doesn't. Tim, you wanted to talk about approval before a property was purchased?
Yeah, if a property, someone wants to have the city look at buying up a property, if those items can be brought to our attention so we can advise, make a recommendation. I believe that's an approved motion to put forward.
Before you guys make a motion, we do have a public comment for this item.
Great.
If you want
to meet. Am I up?
Yep, you're good.
Thank you very much. Oh, you don't mind if I like. Can I sit, Mr. Chair?
Yes, you
can. Thank you very much. My first question would be, why did this not come before the Environmental Advisory Board as it came before Parks and Recreation, as it is related to the duties and responsibilities of this board?
That's what I asked earlier.
Let me finish. Let me get on the roll here.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just trying to keep us.
Don't do it.
Right.
All right. The other aspect of this, that the property owner requested it in order to facilitate the purchase of the property by the county for conservation, which I believe is within a manatee protection zone, has a conservation restricted zone overlay, and is in a Class A floodplain. Okay? Somebody explain that to me. Over the recommendations of Parks and Recreation and staff, the commission voted not to do it. These are aspects that we need to look at as it relates to environmentally sensitive lands. because it's within their total vision of economic development other than anything else, right? It's not acceptable because it would take away a prime piece of economic development property, which based on the present rules of the ULDC would be very expensive to develop. Okay.
Thank you.
You all need to, oh, I'm not done yet, unless I got 3 minutes left.
I got.
Okay, thank you, Missy. All right. There's the aspect of the things we need to look at. As I said, it went before Parks and Rec. It went before planning. It went before development services, I think, or what's it? Yeah, exactly. But never came before this board. Okay, now I'm done. Thank you. And the commission should reverse that so that property can be placed, if the property owner's still interested, okay, which I'm sure they are, because it's not cost-effective for them. Development. Do you know how much fill I have to bring in there? Thank you, I'm done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we ask the owner for permission to survey the trees on the property and see if they fit into our, you know, if there's any big trees, heritage trees, something that would bolster our argument before everybody to
the recommendation preserve. Is board should be, they should have just done it.
Well, we can't change.
Hold on. Dude, you can't. You're done. You're done, man.
I apologize.
So I'm just wondering if maybe somebody could do a swing by or a drive by or get some permission and say, we'd like to take a look to see if we find this falls under our purview, because it's very hard to tell tree cover from here.
No, it doesn't.
Well, for these old eyes, it's hard. I mean, unless you zoom in, I mean, I can see some on the highway.
What are you recommending?
I'm recommending that first, before we get permission to go out and look at the property and see if it's something that is worth preserving. I know the wetlands aspect of it.
I didn't know we were
talking about
before
trees.
The city.
I don't know that we're going before the city either. Okay, don't be pedantic. But I'm talking about we should at least look, have eyes on the property, by some of the staff, and get a report back as to what they think. Can we make a motion for that?
If I may make a quick comment, Chair, we actually, the natural resources team, we were able to get our eyes on this property. So we have some information regarding the environmental conditions of this site.
Can that be shared, or can we put that on for a next meeting or something? I mean, how do we get our hands around this to move forward with further discussion or whatever?
Absolutely. It's something that we can provide. There are some photos associated with this parcel.
But mostly I want to see what is actually
I'm going to ask you to leave if you're not quiet.
I want to know what's actually the staff, natural resources, thinks about this property, if they can make a memo or something to us, or a report, or if they're in favor of it. You guys are the experts.
We can provide our environmental assessment of this property and share it with the Environmental Advisory Board. Just wanted to also remind you that our presentation in front of commission is coming up later this month, which is, I believe, the December 9th, if I'm not mistaken. So we will be discussing the land acquisition program
Front
of commission
on
December 9th. However, because of time and because of deadlines for which these agenda items work, we may not be able to make any changes. However, we can make, you know, mention of any potential thoughts by the EAB and any potential support towards the options that I will give to you in one of the next items upcoming, which is the land acquisition.
Okay. So I jumped the gun. Fine.
Okay. Any other comments or questions on this item specifically? Right. I just want to make sure that we have the point of, I want us to get to a point where we're seeing anything environmentally related prior to it getting voted on by the commission. Great. Thank you. Item 26-0004, discussion and possible recommendation regarding City of Northport land acquisition program utilizing the Environmental Protection Fund.
All right, thank you, Chair. If you give me a minute to set up here and pull up the presentation. Can you see it okay?
Yes, sir.
You can see it. All right, Jessica.
All right.
All right, so I will update the esteemed board about the land acquisition program proposal for environmentally sensitive lands by the Natural Resources Division. The purpose of this program is to proactively identify, evaluate, and acquire environmentally sensitive lands throughout the city, preserve natural resources, and support the Unified Land Development Code and the city's comprehensive plan. Another goal is to enhance the ecological integrity, public health, and community resiliency, reduce flood risk, preserve vital wetlands and habitats, and utilize strategically the Environmental Protection Fund. Why this matters to our city: we're rapidly growing and changing. There's an ever-increasing strain on our city's natural resources. Flooding and water quality issues already are associated with a significant cost of our city. Preserving key parcels can reduce flood risk and infrastructure costs. Balanced development equals sustainable growth. And this also matters because it may offer economic benefits by increasing property values, attracting tourism, and reducing costs related to flood control and other services. So, natural flood protection reduces infrastructure costs. Cleaner water equals lower stormwater treatment expenses. Green space increases nearby property values. Investing in conservation enhances the community's quality of life by providing recreational spaces, improving air quality, and fostering the sense of connection with nature. So there are other programs that exist. One of them was mentioned through the county, and that's just one way to partner and work with others. So a few zones were identified within the city limits.
Can we blow that up, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And just as a reminder, the presentation is available on the agenda as well. So we have identified five regions with parcels of interests within those regions. Now, as part of this presentation, we are avoiding bringing up any specific parcels because of how this may affect the future market value of these properties. However, we have a list and we have identified each of these and we have graded them based on certain parameters, and I will go through some of these points in the presentation now. So some of these benefits that I mentioned earlier, they work with reducing the city's long-term flood management costs, protecting water quality and aquifer recharge zones, and maintaining critical habitat for native and protected species. I mentioned the green space opportunities and how these may align with other conservation methods and other forms of acquiring parcels to accomplish a more balanced city landscape. Funding mechanisms. So the funding source comes through the Environmental Protection Fund entirely. However, there may be opportunities to partner with other state and regional players to accomplish more. So the acquisition strategy, it follows several steps. And for each parcel of interest, we have identified and graded these areas by specific criteria. And some of these include gopher tortoise and listed species habitat, heritage trees, other trees of concern, plant coverage, invasive coverage, watershed impact, connectivity to other parcels, whether it's adjacent to waterways, neighborhood green space need, human disturbance, and whether it's within a floodplain. Also, the size of the lot, the cost, the cost would be also a factor, of course. And then the final scoring would ultimately determine which of these add the most ecological value to this program, so to say, the best bang for the buck. As you can see, there are different scoring guidelines. Zero would represent that there's no value, and three would represent very high value for each of these categories. So I talked about the many benefits, and they're ultimately the reason why we are doing this. So the potential land acquisition program is ultimately supported by the comprehensive plan within at least two elements of it. And we also have the floodplain management and CRS programs. So there will be value towards each of these. And ultimately, the goal is for Northport to be more community resilient. So here's a case study, an example from another city that successfully implements this program, or they implement their program and other ways to support land acquisition. That's just one example of another jurisdiction that does that. Ultimately, we are going to seek three options from... Ultimately, we have three options to recommend, and we will seek for commission to recommend one of them. And this would be option one, which is to pursue properties in order of ranking. Under this option, staff would pursue all parcels identified by the Natural Resources Division in order of their staff ecological ranking. Each acquisition would depend on the presence of a willing seller, the property's fair market value, and the availability of funding. If a property owner is unwilling to sell or requests a price above the appraised value, or if funding is insufficient, staff would move on to the next parcel on the list until all identified properties have been considered or available funding has been exhausted. Option two would be for staff to focus acquisition efforts on the 10 parcels within the highest ecological value as identified by the Natural Resources Division. Efforts would be limited to these parcels unless no willing sellers are found. If none of the top parcels are available, staff would proceed down the ranked list in order of ecological value until funding is utilized. And then option three, it prioritizes floodplain, wetlands, and stormwater impacts of any potential lots. So this one, this option would focus not that much on listed species and vegetative coverage, but rather the floodplain potential benefits and stormwater management potential by the properties. So the next steps would be to once commission recommends an option and directs staff to pursue, the next steps would be for us to contact willing property owners and then complete the appraisal process for each of these, and then go through the steps to aim to acquire these properties of ecological value. So a balanced approach to growth means protecting what makes Northport vibrant, and it's, in our opinion, one of the most effective ways to invest environmental protection funds, and collaboration with local environmental organizations to partner with land trusts will be a big part of this as well. And I believe that this will open some exciting options that did not exist before for our city. And so with that being said, I can answer any questions that you may have.
Jessica, any questions?
No.
Tim?
The only thing I would have is if we're able to give any input on your three criterias of the land, like how you're looking for them, if we can have an input on which one we'd advise.
So I was going to ask a similar question. Of those three options, right, what is the differences in, like, total acreages, number of lots, and that sort of thing?
Ultimately, the total acreage would depend on willing sellers, and it would
Understood.
Depend on
I'm
the
talking
priorities.
About in terms of, I'm talking about in terms of here's the universe, understanding that, right, you have to have a willing seller. I get that.
Right.
I would like to, as a board, have an option on which of the three methods the city should present and go for as the board. I think that's a fair assessment.
I agree. 100%. That's why I'm asking this question, as I'm curious.
I disagree.
Hang on, and I will give you plenty of time.
No, because can I have a quick look at the options again? My husband locked himself out of the house, and I was dealing with that during part of the presentation. You don't have to read it to me. Staff recommendations in order of rock.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay. I got that. Okay.
And I also wanted to include that natural resources staff will also be making their recommendation.
Right. Okay.
As well. So ultimately, yes. What we would like is that formal recommendation from you as a board. But just to go over again, we have the same list. However, the options determine in which priority order we are going to go. And option one is basically pursuing all of these properties within the order of ranking, cumulative order of ranking for all criteria from listed species to a potential floodplain benefit. So option two would be kind of to narrow down our search, our work with just the 10 highest ecological value properties that we've identified, and the majority of our efforts will be limited towards these 10 properties. Now, if none of these are available or feasible, then we would expand and move to others. So ultimately, it would be a similar list and similar priority. However, this one is saying, okay, let's prioritize the 10 that we like the most and have the highest scoring, and then we go from there. Where the other one, option one, would be, let's put all of them aligned and let's see which ones we want to start with, from starting with one, then the second one, then the third one, and so forth. And then the option three would mainly focus towards floodplain prevention, you know, which parcels may have the most ecological or the most value towards potential floodplain protection and stormwater management. So which ones have the most potential towards that? So this one is more limited and is concentrated on floodplain issues and concerns.
That's what I was asking him about.
Thank you.
So do we have a sense of what that difference is? I'm trying to get to that so I can get a line done, because I'm 100%, I think we need to vote on it.
Do you have a sense
for that, Stefan? So your first two items on there is the same universe. You're just approaching them in a different, right?
Correct.
It's more of a bandwidth issue, really. Right, but the third one is carves out everything that's not floodplain, stormwater, that sort of thing. I'm just curious if we have a sense for what that difference in total acreage is.
So the total acreage, I can pull up some additional information that may help answer that. So the total acreage would be, there are several large, fairly large parcels, and there are many smaller ones. The total acreage would be in
roughly
the tens of acres. However, we have, with our limited funding, you know, we are just going to prioritize with the maximum that we can acquire as far as environmental score.
So if you got, how much, please remind me, what's the war chest that the city has for this?
Excuse me?
What's the war chest that the city's working with?
So it's $2.5 million.
$2.5 million.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And I wanted to show you, these are attached in this agenda item, so you can access them at any time. But we have the potential environmental score,
yep,
the size, and why, what are some of the notable features of the parcel that we're interested in, and then the zone that's associated with this parcel. And earlier I showed you that map with the different zones, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yep.
So you can see this one would be in the order of ranking based on all factors. So that would be if we consider option 1 or 2,
yep,
actually option 1. But that hopefully that summarizes what we have in mind.
That was helpful. Thank you. You want to make a motion about?
I would like to make a motion.
Before you guys make a motion, we do have another public comment under this item.
Great.
So you're here to make your comment?
Hi, thank you very much. I believe that the previous piece of property was on the list prior to the commission's vote not to allow it to be put into conservation, which, again, at the property owner's request, I myself and partial option 1, okay? But I understand option 3. One of the things that we need to understand as we look forward to acquiring environmental property is many of the things that were discussed in the commission's workshop today, especially the presentation that was put forth as it relates to the branding of the city. And the branding of the city primarily was focused on our natural environment and the beauty of our community as a branding factor. Well, that is what we should focus on. As far as economic development, is the beauty of this community and its natural resources, right? Not blind focus on economic development. And one of the other things is that the development of the interchanges, okay? Like Activity Center 6 and 10, right? That have the potential to provide us with the majority or a great percentage of the economic development the city's looking forward to. We cannot lose sight of our natural resources and the finite that we have. I'm going to let that go. I'll sum it up, but you need to be more informed of what is going on, and you're not being. And that is a tragedy, especially as it relates to the duties and responsibilities of this board. Thank you. And I'm going to be off.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
If I may, Chair, before any motions are made, I wanted to also bring up that the natural resources staff they are recommending option one to commission as part of their item coming on December 9th. And also, if the board would like, as part of a motion, you can also bring up that recommendation towards that activity center property that we just discussed as part of the previous item. So that would be a recommendation that you can make if you would like as part of your overall recommendation towards the land acquisition options that we have. So.
Okay, thank you. Tim, you have a motion.
So I'd like to make a motion that the environmental board gives their input on which of the three we believe the city should focus on.
Oh, I second it.
Yeah, I agree. All four?
Aye.
Aye.
Hmm?
So do we now
weigh
in on which option?
Yeah, right. So do you want to...
they recommend an option, a motion to recommend a particular option, Heather?
That's what he...
He was just making a motion that they're going to...
To discuss it now, right?
Yeah, right. We're good.
Doesn't hurt.
All right, would you like to comment about it, or you want to just take the vote? Any comments?
I'm clear on the three options.
Yes.
I feel comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's vote.
Great.
My recommendation is option three.
That's good. I thought one also.
That's not a motion.
So, in theory, now someone needs to make a motion and vote for each option that you would like to vote on.
Well, and that has to be you, because I don't get to make them.
Okay. All in favor of option three?
You just need a motion
to
whatever option you want, make a motion for that option.
Oh, I see.
And then we need a second.
Yes. Okay. All those in favor of option one?
Yeah, it was two separate things.
Me too.
Seconding?
So, yeah, I second that.
Okay, and now you can take a vote.
All right, voting on option one. I'm an aye.
Aye.
Tim?
Nay.
Nay. Okay. Does it have to be a majority?
No. Passes 2-1.
Okay, that passes.
And then
So then we have a second thing where do we want to make a recommendation that the property that we were talking about before, should that be included as a target for this program? Does anybody want to make a motion along those lines?
Okay, can we have a discussion?
Yes, we can.
Okay. It's my understanding that including that property, according to Stefan, would not be possible before the meeting on December 9th with Natural Resources that not included that in their recommendations. And that might be a stumbling block or something. Am I right in understanding that?
So we have a list with properties, and this one, I need to verify whether this one is
available
on there.
Okay.
It isn't, Stefan.
Okay.
Well, then,
this is what I thought that we...
Well,
yeah,
we'll just,
that it's not on there.
We'll just have to postpone it, I think. Is it feasible?
Chair, if I may. There is no time for Natural Resources to update their list and ranking for the presentation for commission on December 9th, but that does not prevent this board from making a recommendation to the city commission that they would like to see that property added.
Okay. So I make
we just
motion.
Won't be able to provide the overall ranking and review. We'll just be able to provide the history and the board's recommendation.
So I make a motion that we do that, include a property.
I second it.
Okay, so we will include the property as
all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for that suggestion, Stefan.
Thank you.
Excellent. Any other questions, comments on that particular topic?
No.
Item 26-0005, presentation and discussion regarding potential future development projects in Northport.
Thank you, Chair. Give me just a moment. Hopefully you can see this okay. We have a few properties. The first one is a recreational vehicle, RV, trailer, and boat parking with an approximate parking lot capacity of 228 spaces. The property is not located within any identified activity center. And this proposed development master plan, which this is a development master plan proposal, contemplates such this project. And we have approved this master plan with the following conditions. The tree survey indicates more trees than what is proposed for preservation on the site plans. During the site development review, it is recommended to keep this buffer in its natural state. So basically, this is a project that's at an early approval state, and there will be additional comments and requirements as we get further to the development review committee process. And here's a plan of what the proposal seeks to accomplish. And this is the parcel location, also showing what's available right now. Okay, so this one is a project in Welland Park. It's a 40,000 square feet medical office building and associated parking, utility, and stormwater infrastructure. Some of our comments pertain to the fact that they need to plant all trees and landscaping in accordance with code regulations. Right tree, right place policy, no medium or large canopy tree should be planted within 20 feet of overhead utilities. Palms that can grow taller than 10 feet must be placed within a setback equal to their maximum front length plus 3 feet. A root barrier, a root barrier must be installed when a tree is within 10 feet of any street, sidewalk, driveway, underground utilities, or structure. This is per the ULDC section 4.3.2. The property owner or their successor is responsible for maintaining all landscaping materials in healthy conditions as approved indefinitely. They must also replace any landscaping materials that are damaged, diseased, dead, or considered hazardous. So we're working with our developers to educate them and to remind them that it's a requirement by the Unified Land Development Code and is something that they need to take into consideration. The Natural Resources Division has also tightened its process towards root barrier enforcement as part of the review process. So that's something that we want to stress to our applicants as early as possible. Sarasota Memorial Hospital, phase two. So this is basically a continuation of the initial phase where we have some comments about the landscape
plans, including the root barrier and the maintenance in perpetuity as well. This is a project that I'm sure you're all familiar with.
Yeah.
And these are the comments that we have as of right now.
All right. Questions, comments about that?
I'd like to make a motion that we remove this type of item from our agenda because there's nothing this board can actually say on what does and doesn't get developed or how it's developed. So I think this is just wasting Stefan's time and our board's time. Because we can't tell them they can't do anything different. They just have to meet the codes. So we're not the planning and reviewing boards. Like, I mean, yeah, it's nice information that we get to know, but there's nothing we can do. So why are we talking about it or looking at it?
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? I'll second it. All right, so let's have a vote on removing that item.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Motion carries. Any other questions or comments on this section?
Well, it was always nice to know what was going on. You know, some things are just informative. They don't have to serve a purpose. We don't have to wonder, what are they building there now when we're driving by someplace? We used to get that information here at this meeting. But I guess it's available online.
It is.
Yep. Thank you. Any other comments or questions on that item? Great. Future agenda items. Jessica, do you have any future agenda items?
I did. One of the cities near us, Temple Terrace, up near Tampa, actually hired an outside company. I'm not sure of their structure, if they have any boards like we do here in Northport. But they hired an outside company to identify all the trees within their tiny city, and which ones are invasive and which ones were, you know, native. And it only added up to, like, you know, 2,500 trees or something. But anyway, I thought it was kind of a good idea. I know it's really impractical to do here in Northport, but they had a very strong, their city commission strongly recommended something along the lines of, okay, we're going to replace trees with natives, and we're going to do this as, you know, sort of like what Northport, as their city of trees, tree city, wanted. And I was wondering, you know, the way that you can, there's a way that you can count a crowd, right? You know, without doing individual things. And I was wondering if we had any capacity, like with a drone or something, to just fly around the city and come up with an estimate of how many.
All right. So would you like to have that on the next meeting's agenda?
A discussion about just what exactly do we have. And it's, I would have to, I would say, limit it to city. Should we limit it to city property, or should we expand out? I don't want to be
so that
spying
would be
on my
part
neighbors.
Of the discussion.
Oh, okay.
Right? So you're, okay. What you'd like to see on there is a discussion about
what do we
identifying
have?
What our tree.
I know, like you had one
censuses
with wildlife.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Okay, because I was thinking with the drones nowadays, it might be
great.
Easy, and we could just say, okay, there's so many oaks in this acre, and we can extrapolate the information to whatever.
Great.
Is that so? Let's talk about that next time. I was hoping.
Yep. Do you have any other items you'd like on the future agendas?
That was it.
Thank you. Tim?
Yep.
I have one. It's a proposal about how the funding is used, like broken up for like planting trees, buying trees.
So a discussion around
how the funds, the tree funds are being used, like allocated. Because I don't think the city currently has like a process of like X amount goes to this, Y amount goes to that.
Discussion and possible action regarding how the environmental fund is spent.
Yeah, I have a proposal everybody can look at, and if they want
to.
Yeah. And I would suggest the staff look, or the board members look at it as well. You can take it.
Well, if it comes out on the agenda, it'll be on there.
Okay.
I'm good. I'll read it online.
Okay.
Great. Love it. Do you have any others, Jim?
That's it for today.
No, I'm good. Any public comment?
Yes, one public. Go, Chucky.
Chuck English. I want to bring to the board's attention some history. The Myakkahatchee Creek Environmental Park was developed based on a vision. And that vision is similar to what, and this is loose, what New York Central Park is. The initial vision of that park was to be the environmental learning center of this community. It wasn't the environmental park. It was Myakkahatchee Creek Environmental Learning Center initially. That was the vision. Somehow that vision's gotten lost, and they think they can replace it with a building. That's not what that park was designed for. I know, because I was part of the committee that laid the foundation for that park to include assisting in the writing of state law to abolish the Northport Water Control District, who were going to channelize it. That vision was put forth by many individuals that are no longer here today. I just want to let the board know that I am going to go after that vision the same as it was before, and that that learning center should be designated and adopted as it relates to the Myakkahatchee Creek Environmental Learning Center, which was initially its purpose for existence. Not a building. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Can
we are adjourned. Thank you.